broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless to Lottie Dottie and every other body. And tonight we bring you some more scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth, part of Anat Sarim Network. We broadcast live on Bob Talk Radio. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024, and we're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I'm your host, Leander Grace, and it remains very amazing time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing as we diligently contend for the faith, as Holy Spirit guides our battle, knowing we're giving only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness. Going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle's won, but we must show up. But I want to thank you guys for showing up for the program this evening. For those who are listening remotely, whether it's live or podcast, pod people, we love you too. I want to thank you for being here with us today. Holy Spirit is moving in this great awakening as it continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Change is upon us. We're seeing it everywhere. It looks one minute like peace is going to start to bring out, and then the next minute it looks like war is going to be breaking all out, and all things are up in arms, and there's confusion and chaos and wars and rumors of wars and the fog of war and all of the rest. And we're all dealing with it in our own little way. Some of us are dealing with it better than others, and some of us, you know, it's a mixed bag. How many different ways is there to deal with stress? How many different people are there? There you go. And I want to tell you guys, you know, when I came on air this evening, I almost did not come on air. It's not that it was anything holding me up. It's just I was talking to the Father. It's like, I don't know what to say. A lot of things have gone through my mind throughout the week. A lot of different scriptures have come up, and a lot of different, chain of scriptures, right, as dots start to connect and things. And I think there'll be a class about that, or a lecture about that coming forth, or teaching coming forth, and that'll be out of Isaiah 26 when we get there. We'll talk about it. We might even talk about it tonight. But tonight, I was talking to the Father. I'm getting a little sip of coffee here. Let me get this. It's a really good, hot, fresh, yummy, perfect temperature to sip cup of coffee. So I'm going to enjoy it for a minute, and I'm going to hope that you will enjoy me enjoying it for just a minute. So hang on. That is a very good cup of coffee. That would be worth not being on air for, but I'm here tonight. And I wanted to share with you all, you know, I have some stalwart scriptures, and I'm just, you know, rather than doing the whole lineup and all of that, well, I'm just going to go right into just speaking tonight, just kind of talking about stuff, because I feel like I got a lot to talk about, but no little forward thing. So all this is to be announced, but the question that I will be, you know, there will be some questions to be asked. So, but I want to first share with you some of the very baseline scriptures that the Father always has me to remember when I get into a place where I say, Father, I don't know what to say. And the scripture that I want to share with you is 2 Timothy 4:2-4, where we're told by the Apostle Paul, as he's speaking to Timothy, he's telling him to be ready in an instant. Right, kind of right on deck for the way I was feeling as I came on air. I was like, you know, I don't know what to say. I have so much to say. I don't know what to say. And that's kind of where it is. There's so many different things that I want to talk about, and they didn't come together cohesively. And so let me just share this scripture with you. And it's 2 Timothy 4:2-4, like I said. And it starts, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit reminds us through Paul to Timothy in the scriptures to be ready in an instant to teach and to talk about the Word of God and about the blessings of God and creation and how much He loves us and all of those wonderful things and how to look out, you know, and stay away from the sinful areas because it'll drag you down and all of those things. But all of the stuff that I came, the first, I'm just going to share with you guys openly the struggle for tonight's broadcast. You know, the first thing I was going to be talking about was it all points to faith without works is dead, and going through, and we still might do that and go through the enumerations. And then it's been a little while since we've done some scriptures and scuttlebutts. I skipped a week and then we got on, so I missed all that Easter stuff, you know, where President Biden recognized the transgender rather than what's considered the Easter weekend, where Christians are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And he put it forward. And I want to say this. What I came down with for the final title is, for tonight's broadcast, is In Name Only. In Name Only. And we have a blank at the beginning of that, blank, comma, In Name Only. And I want to point out the resident in the White House, Joseph Biden. And now you folks know that I'm not Catholic, and I am opposed to many of the teachings of the Catholic Church. I am not opposed to Catholics, nor am I opposed to the overall idea of having a unified idea of Christianity. I do have issues with the Catholic Church en masse, but not with individual Catholics. And I think you guys understand. I was raised Southern Baptist, got problems with that too. So, but what I want to point out is the danger of being a Catholic and the President of the United States in name only. Now, the Constitution of the United States says that there is no religious test to qualify for the office or any office of the presidency or the legislature or the justices or any of that. There's no religious test to be elected to the office of service. But since he has put that out in front, it becomes an issue to be discussed. And it seems as though the one who thinks he's president of the United States can't put two sentences together, and I'm talking about the Biden brand, regime, whatever we're calling it these days, that he's pro-abortion and pro-transgender and pro-everything that the Catholic Church, according to doctrine, not according to necessarily this current pope, that's a person, but according to the doctrine, they're against. This is very, very damaging to those of the Catholic faith. This makes them look bad. It makes, I'm going to use the word, real Catholics who aren't using it as a political edge, as a title in name only, it makes them look bad because now they're going to have to speak out against one of the leaders, the President of the United States, if that's what they're going to call him, and stick to their faith without showing disrespect. And then he comes up and he says he's some kind of a flaming Irish Catholic, and he's doing everything except representing either the flames or the Irish or the Catholics, let alone his misrepresentation of we the people of the United States of America. And this is not a political broadcast, but it's going to become some a little bit on this Sabbath. And the reason why is because their attacks, their spiritual attacks, have a political manifestation. The spiritual attacks have a political manifestation. When the Biden White House decided to show preferential treatment to Transgender Day and put off the Easter, quote-unquote, celebrations until the next day, he showed us where his priorities were of the Biden regime. We were shown in those actions. Now, true, fair, and all, you know, we said before that it was already that day. Easter is, evidently, it floats. I'm not, So it happened to fall on that. And you know, we've postponed federal holidays before because of a weekend, because of this, because of a religious celebration. And I have my own ideas about what's been done on Easter, but that's irrelevant to the conversation. The claim coming out of that individual's mouth is Catholic this and Catholic that and yada yada Catholic, and then he goes off and does everything antithetical to what the Catholic Church represents to the public as being Catholic. So it's a great level of disrespect. And some of the antics that go on at the White House under the auspices of celebrating this particular federal holiday is abhorrent and makes us look like fools. And so it's in name only that he can call himself a representative of the United States, and it's in name only, in my belief, in the way that I see and evaluate the picture that I'm seeing on the landscape in front of me, he's a Catholic in name only. I don't care how many times a day, a week, a month, a year he goes to Mass. I don't care how many confessions he's made to who. His actions are antithetical to the religion that he's claiming. And why does that matter? Because faith without works is dead. So he can claim to be a part of the Catholic Church, but his works are showing us something else. We'll know them by their fruits. And his fruit's kind of stinky right now. It just is. It didn't look anything like what I've seen Catholics present. And I'm not the most foolish person in the world. I can kind of see the signs and see what standard has been set and who's following that standard, and he's not. And when he's asked about, nobody's asking about him. Nobody's directing it to him, except some of the evangelicals. Which is another bag of tricks. So let's talk about some of the works and some of the rituals and some of the things that are coming, because we'll have Passover coming up here pretty soon too. We'll be talking about that. But let's talk about some of the rituals. Everybody has things in their religion and their separate religions, holidays and periods of time that are observed. And there are those who observe things within their own religion to varying degrees. But being in varying degrees of faithfulness to a faith does not make a leader of that faith. And so as Mr. Biden has tried to put himself up as a leader in the faith, he's not. Because he varies greatly from the teachings and the doctrines of the faith that he says that he's a leader of. And why do I feel the need to point that out? Because I have a lot of Catholic friends, whether I found that out. You know, I know a lot of people who are Catholic and what they say the Catholic Church has done for them and what their faith represents for them. I have an opinion that's different than the opinion of the Catholic Church. I think things should be done more scriptural and less this, and I could argue all day long. But I want to tell you, it's not okay for someone to sit there and say they're a leader of the Catholic faith and do everything antithetical to that faith. It confuses people. It's psychologically damning and it's gaslighting. And it allows for the younger people that are coming up and looking for those examples to be set to be confused by someone who's supposed to be a leader of something. And then here we have him bumbling in the leadership of presidency and bumbling in the supposed leadership of the Catholic faith. That's the way that is. Now, in the Hebrew faith, some of the things. And I had all of these numbers. There was, at some point, all kinds of numbers were coming through to me, and I wanted to keep track of them. So all of the faiths have ways of counting and marking time as significant events. And whether we celebrate them in the manner that they were originally intended or not is up for debate. But those events have become very, very central to the exercise of individual faith. And this is not a cutting down of anybody's faith. I'm really transparent about my belief system and some of the things that I do and do not believe and do and do not like. That's not what this program is about. It's not about airing my grievances and my differences with any particular religion, but I do want to highlight these things. Is that with the Hebrews and the Hebrew calendar, aside from the holidays, now I do want to, let's talk about the Hebrew calendar that the Northern Kingdom, the children of the Northern Kingdom, the Christians, the Protestants, the Evangelicals, and Catholics, all kind of together, those who are not of Judah but love the Lord, right? There's calendar that God made so that we would know when to do what and when history would repeat itself. Oh, yeah, it's pretty cyclic. And if we can follow the scriptures and find our area of time in the scriptures, we'll find out that it's cyclic and it repeats itself, but I do digress. But God did give us the calendar so that we would know the times and the seasons and so that we would recognize, let me clear my throat, prophecy as it was being fulfilled and why it was being fulfilled. And these days marked times for us, we who love the Lord, to look up, whether you're of Judah, whether you're of the Northern Kingdom. We're supposed to look up, and there's times that we're supposed to wait and remember what that waiting is about. And one of the times I love is the Hebrew, the 5 weeks, the counting of the Omer. And the counting of the Omer is the time between when Moses went up to get the law and he came to give the law. It's the counting of the Omer, the time of the week. So the giving of the law, very, very significant event in our calendar. But we have lost sight of that. Because in the Protestant religion, we think that that's old school and we don't need to learn that. And we focus on the new scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, that almost makes sense because we don't read that stuff in the front of the book because that's old school. We don't need that. And if we realize that those 5 weeks is a Pentateuch of weeks, oh yeah. And that they received the law, that from the distance of the distance, the time between the crucifixion and Pentecost is just about 5 weeks. Giving of the law, giving of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot to be said for the Hebrew calendar if we dig in deeply. Next one's coming up, the holiday that just passed, the festival that just passed was Purim. And the next one that's coming up, the next feast, is going to be the Passover feast of unleavened bread and Passover, not necessarily in that order. And so we should actually at this time, if we're going to be honoring the scriptures and the calendar that God gave us to honor and to know what's going on when, even though we have celebrated, had an Easter celebration, Northern Kingdom, Protestants, Evangelicals, and Catholics. I don't know why we have all three of those listed separately, but for some reason they're being listed separately in different magazines and write-ups. Let me get a drink. If we paid attention to that, well, it might be a good idea if we start paying better attention to the calendar that God gave us. Which brings me to a different type of calendar that's honored by the Catholic Church, and that is the Rosary. Now, I myself don't pray the Rosary. I have because I wanted to learn it and learn about it, and I had a priest teaching me at some point, just circa 2010-ish, 9-ish, 10-ish, somewhere around there. But was teaching me about the decades and what each of them meant. And so I have a little bit of hands-on experience, learning curve experience. I'm not an expert in this stuff. But it's in decades. And I was thinking, so is this in like 10 years? No, but it's, and I can't explain it any further than that. Other than each bead is a, anyway, you'll have to look it up and learn more. I learned a little bit about it. And it requires a discipline, and it requires a focus, and requires a dedication. Do I have a personal opinion about it? Yes. Am I going to share it? No. Did I find the prayer edifying? To a degree. And I'm just being very honest, but it's not something that I practice. And then something else that comes out of the, not out of the Protestant church, not out of the Protestant stuff, not out of beforeness, it was never celebrated until the Catholic Church put it up, and that's Lent, the 40 days of Lent. And from what I understand, that it starts with Ash Wednesday, and it goes for 40 days where you give something up. And I don't know all the rules and regulations of that stuff, and there's not rules and regulations, it's practices and procedures for all that. But it's in celebration and understanding that Christ went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, and then he was tempted, not until after the fast. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was tempted. So we have to get the order of things also. And then for the evangelicals, I just call them crazy kids, because evangelicals are just like the Northern Kingdom and the Catholics too and the Protestants. All of us are crazy kids that aren't part of the Hebrews, but we try to grasp a hold of it because we celebrate a lot of things that weren't given to us to celebrate. And we just have to come to terms with that. I don't think anybody's going to go to hell because they were hopping around with an Easter bunny. I've been known to, there's an Easter bunny stories. For those of you who know, you know. For those of you who don't know, you'll find out. There's Easter bunny stories in my past, but at least one. But the Easter bunny is not the reason for the resurrection. The Easter bunny had nothing to do with the resurrection. It's a completely different fable. It is a mythos. And it's not about Christianity. In fact, the holiday that we're to be celebrating isn't even named Easter. That word got slipped into the New Testament, the King James Version, but if you look at the Greek, it's Pesach. And they name it Passover. It's what's to be celebrated. And yet we're doing bunnies and eggs and all of that, and it has... something that we might want to take a look at of whether we need to adjust or not. It's just something to think about. It's not a bony finger. Because there is a place for the white rabbit. They're definitely going to leave that there. But I do. I call the evangelicals crazy kids. Because we will celebrate it all if given a chance. And because of that, our lineage within the Christian church has not learned the potency of our faith as we did a couple of generations ago. And because the potency of our faith has been watered down by whichever means it was, whether it's a big red man in a big red suit or whether it's a big-eared floppy bunny, we've had our attention put somewhere else rather than focused, and then our faith has become diluted, and we see that in our posterity. We see that in our generations, in the second and third generations. We see that their faith is not as potent as it was three generations ago. And on the news, you'll hear things like, well, the church attendance is down, or people don't attend. Well, their faith is not potent. They don't have faith. They're listening to the news and the gloom and the doom preachers and might as well bend over and kiss it goodbye because it's all going to end soon anyway. And that's not what the scriptures say. Understand that it would behoove us all to go back through the scriptures with some form of translation help and to find out what the scriptures are actually trying to tell us. And we will find out that the second death that everybody is so mystified by, the second death is the words that are used to describe the last days, the final battles, these end times is called the second death, which means something will be ending and something else will be beginning. And we're told that. We're told that the old earth will pass away and the new earth will be here. The old heaven will pass away, new heaven and a new earth. Is it going to happen in a blink of an eye and a snap of a finger and all of that stuff? We will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, but are we not responsible for building our future according to the way God said build our future? Is that not what a new heaven and a new earth is? And if we remember the scriptures also, the things that are going to pass away are death and hell and the false prophets and the Antichrist and the evil, wicked creaturenesses. That's what's going to be passing away. So if we're going to be here because this is our world, Jesus bought this back with his blood, should we not figure out the best way to rebuild it in the image and in the guidance of the one who created it? So once again, the law becomes our guide so that we do not self-destruct. Not just the law of the land, the Constitution of the United States is what I'm referring to when I say the law of the land, but also Torah, the instructions of how not to self-destruct as a people, as persons, living together with millions of people in an area, and everybody has their own brain. Everybody has their own mind and everybody has their own way of seeing and viewing and perceiving and thinking of things. And yet we're charged by virtue of our very existence to live together. And we all want to live together peacefully. Hopefully we all want to live together peacefully. If we don't want to live together peacefully, something's wrong. If someone doesn't want to live in peace, something's wrong with that person. If somebody wants to make war on purpose, there's something wrong with that person. That doesn't mean that if you're challenged, you don't stand up and answer the challenge. But living in bloody hell every day is not normal. And for those who want to make war and stay at war and start arguments and fights and chaos, there's something wrong with those people. There's nothing wrong with you for wanting peace. Passivity is not always the best way to get peace. This is where the issue comes and the battle comes internally to figure out what is it we're going to do, because we want peace. But in order to get that, we have to fight off the idiot who's coming at us to make war. That's a conundrum. And yet Israel's in the same conundrum right now. Israel doesn't want war. And yet Hamas attacked. Death attacked. That's what Hamas means, death. Death attacked Israel, and Israel fought back. And everybody's like, well, don't fight back. Don't fight back. Be passive. That's not going to win anything except more death, more Hamas. More Hamas will spread. More death will spread. We're promised in the scriptures that we'll see the end of death. We'll see the end of Hamas. Am I using that translation too liberally? I don't think so. I think that we're not seeing things literally enough. So wanting peace is not the same as passively accepting a smack. And they say, well, Leanna Grace, Jesus said that when somebody slaps you on, when your neighbor, you know, smite you on your cheek, turn the other one and give it to him also. Yeah, because that's your neighbor. It's a completely different relationship than having an invading force coming towards you. It's a completely relationship to have a friend slap you or a neighbor slap you than to have a complete mobilized force coming at you, killing, raping, pillaging, plundering, taking hostages, and spreading death. So it's a conundrum to want peace, but have to go to war to ensure it. Which is why the adage of peace through strength works, because bullies aren't going to come at you when you're fully armed. They have the law of self-preservation with their own selves. And make no mistake, we are at war. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against those powers that are directing some of those people that are in flesh and blood to do really bad things against good people. War is being waged against us. What is the line? Whether we would have it or not. And because of this, we must defend ourselves. whether we're talking about Israel defending themselves against Hamas, or whether we're talking about we the people of the United States defending ourselves against the obvious invasion of our southern border, and now it seems like the crossings of the invasions on the northern border are up a tick or two as well. But make no mistake that our land is rich, full of resources. And it's full of patriots who will defend, and it's full of people who love the Lord, but it's also full of all of those people who are a little bit confused. Because what we're seeing on the world stage is very, very confusing. Everyone's paying more for everything, but those who are supposed to be telling us the truth are saying, those who are evidently in authority, the Biden regime, say, no, no, it's just fine. Yeah, it's okay, it's fine. No, 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 it's fine. Things aren't fine. Like President Trump says, we're a nation in decline. And we're on the brink, and we need to fight back from being on the edge, on the brink. Brigades, battalions of individuals are being shipped in. We're at war. And as Lady O'Gritty would call it, it's a modern-day holy war. And on the other side of the break, we talked about the external fightings and the external fruits and the external representations. We're going to talk about the internal fight and why even in spiritual matters, we have to get political because their spiritual swipes are coming at us politically. I am your host, Leanna Grace. In name only is what we're talking about tonight. We're asking a lot of different questions. Still haven't figured out what to title this particular episode, but we'll get there. We'll be back on the other side. Lady O'Gritty, Modern Day Holy War.
answers to these problems. If you want to solve them, then Jesus, love and truth. We're in a modern day holy war. Holy, holy, what are we
out loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, the silence does not protect us, but when we talk about it and talk about it loud, woo-wee. So yeah, there you go, in name only. I guess that's what the name of the broadcast tonight's episode is going to be, is in name only. And when we talk about being Republican in name only, and we know that there's a lot of people that jump ship and vote the other way. And then, you know, I have a lot of Hebrew friends, and they talk about the Jews are Jews in name only. And there's a lot of Christians that are Christian in name only. They want the title and everything that goes with it, you know, and I'm reminded of the commandments of what God said, you know. Not to take his name in vain. That means is, you know, rather than one of vocabulary, as one of my mentors says, it's more of identity. And don't claim to be what you're not, because our understanding of that standard of what you're claiming to be is the behavior that we'll expect. As people, that's usually how we are. And you know, I use the prayer, I want my doctor to act like a doctor. I want the policeman to act like a policeman, and I want my firemen to act, I want the people who are professionals to represent the profession in the professional way. That's not too much to expect. We expect, now off duty is different, we're all people, but in a uniform I expect a police officer to act a certain way. I expect a fireman to act a certain way. I expect even the postal worker to act a certain way. Professional and courteous and understanding that, you know, it, whatever that is. And but if we have any of those individuals, especially since we consider them in leadership positions, and you guys know I love our first responders, but if we have one of our first responders, let's pick a police officer, because we all know that, who is a police officer in name only, we call them dirty cops. It makes everybody else look bad. And now we have a different standard, something to be careful of, something to muddy the water, and now we have two different types of police officers in our mind. There's good cops and there's bad cops. That fact that we have that dichotomy is the problem. And every police officer will tell you that the only thing more dangerous than the criminals are the dirty cops that say they've got your back. That's where some of the real danger comes in. Same way with all the firemen, you know, everybody going out gung-ho, and then you get the one person who just won't be there. Not that he can't, but he won't be there. Especially in corrections, you want someone to have your back when you're surrounded by a bunch of inmates, and you have every intention of getting their dander up because you're going to address the situation. You got to have people have your back. But if they're a correction officer in name only, they're not going to be there for me. If they're a police officer in name only, they're not going to be there for me. If they're a Catholic in name only, they're not going to be there for us. Loving the title, loving the accolades, but not willing to do the work. How did we get here? How did we get here to the in name only place? Because we have doctors that are doctors in name only. Lawyers that are lawyers in name only. Christians, patriots that are patriots in name only. We call them fair weather patriots, sunshine patriots. We're getting down to brass tacks. We're getting down to cutting time. We're getting down to where just by looking up, we're going to be able to tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. It's getting there. We're not there yet. The bad guys are still able to put a little shade on and put a little glamorization and make themselves look puffy and fun and all of that. So some of the facades are still a little difficult to see through, but we're all getting there. Now, the Mohammedans, what sets them apart, now they're just coming off of Ramadan, and they just celebrated their Eid festival. Pardon me while I clear my throat. And, of course, get a drink, you know. So they just came out of theirs. Now, in the Mohammedan religion, they're responsible for making a pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in their life. And also, the way the calendar goes, I believe, and I think I have this right, I may not have it completely right, but as it turns out that if they, I'm pretty sure that if they celebrate, the thing goes that if they celebrate Ramadan every year, I don't know, there's something very specific about that time of year and the faithful allegiance to the Ramadan holiday and the way the math works out, that when you're X amount of years old, you would have spent this so much time. Anyway, there's a thing. And also the Duwa, it's called a Duwa, their pilgrimage. And that's where I got the word Duwa. It means commitment. And so there you have that. And then the Hindus have their calendar, and the Tao has their varying degrees of observance of stuff, but not too wrapped up in it. So each of the areas of faithfulness, and I know there's a lot of other religions that come through ancestrally, but I went ahead and left those out because I don't know everything about all of them. I know how they fit together. I know where the cleavage points are, if I might use that word, where things came together and moved apart, and why God spread them out. And so, you know, the question people ask a lot of times, why are there so many different religions? And my answer is because there's so many different people. And I see the Creator in Hindi. I see God in the Tao. I see God even in Mohammedan. And I know that'll require a lot of explanation on that. But he works his way. It nothing comes up without him saying, without him allowing it to be so for a reason. So God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit moves in all of the religions at some point. And we all know that there's only one God, but at some point in these religions, somebody decided they would branch off. Some of the lower G-O-Ds, those were the Nephilim. We've talked about that before on the program. And so there's a lot of splittage and all of that, but understand there isn't anything that was created that wasn't created by our Creator. Even the little lower G-O-Ds created as retinue to support even those who would challenge him. So what are we going to do going forward with all of these different things? Because, you know, the one thing that the adversary wants is for us to be divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand, and that isn't just a matter of a church or a matter of a body of believers or a matter of, it's the whole nation, which is why we've seen the dark underground, the weather underground forces, and those forces of darkness, the weather underground, they chose their name for a reason. And they continuously use Salalinsky's rebellious rules against we the people, and have all but tried to, and to a degree they were successful in taking over the land, and we now have control back of it, but we have to reinstate that authority, and it's going to take some time. And in the meantime, we're also uncovering those who are in name only. It takes time and opportunity. There's a saying, if you give people, you know, if you give the bad guys enough rope, they'll eventually hang themselves. Sometimes it takes more time and more rope than what we'd budgeted for. But eventually the bait is taken and the rope is slung. And I'm talking about metaphorically. And I was really glad, and I want to say this because the topic is in name only, and in politics, you know, we get attacked politically, spiritually at the political level. And I was really glad to see the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and President Trump at Mar-a-Lago talking about election interference and correcting some things and getting some. It was really good to see that. It was good to see that briefing, to show us beyond in name only, because there could be some scuttlebutt starting if, you know, otherwise. So all in all, there's challenges before us. There's still legal challenges that they're bringing to President Trump, still trying to keep him out of the picture, using lawfare to do it as a distraction to keep everybody on their back heels and not knowing what's coming next. But God's got his back. You know, when Donald Trump had said, you know, I'm the chosen one, he's right. He didn't say anything bloviating, didn't say anything out of pride. This is one of the biggest challenges I can imagine for anybody, is to take down the deep state. Generations of corruption that have been America only in name only. They have been legislators of the Constitution in name only. There have been justices sitting on the bench in name only. Perhaps not now. There have been presidents in the Oval Office in name only. And so in 2016, President Donald J. Trump took the helm, and all hell broke loose against him because he is an American. And he's a patriot, and he loves the Lord, and it's not in name only. He is uncorruptible, and you can't beat that. If he was corrupted, if he was corruptible, we wouldn't be in the position that we are now of trying to get him back into the office. He wouldn't be in the position he is now of being the hell of lawfare being unleashed against him, and yet he stands and fights for us. He fights the lawfare for us. And I'm sure that he could take a crooked bribe or set it out or do any of this stuff, and they would quit in an instant. Just like we need to be ready in an instant, they would stop in an instant if he would just give in to the corruption. But he won't. Because he won't. All the lawfare hell has been unleashed against him. And we're seeing this as election interference. They want him to quit. They want to break him. They want us to break in our support, and it's not going to happen because we're Americans, not in name only. We are patriots, not in name only. And we want our nation back, not in name only. And so we fight hard because what they're throwing at us is hard to fight against, manifested politically, manifested medically. They attack us spiritually through medicines. Now, people are talking a lot about this medicine, that medicine, and the alternative medications, and it's specifically cannabis. Now, I'm going to speak just a moment about that. People are all hell raised and yelling at the top of their lungs about people who use cannabis medically. They don't understand the mechanisms that are in operation when it comes to cannabis and the endocannabinoid system of the body. And yet they're all fired up to be very understanding with someone who is taking a psych med or someone who's, because that immediately is going to, in their mind, devalue them, whether we admit it or not. Or they're taking an antidepressant, or somebody's taking even a cold medicine. Benadryl will interfere with your better judgment. It is a trance-inducing, it is a dissociative antihistamine. It has a dissociative property to it. And yet Benadryl's over the counter and nobody has any problem with it. Now, why am I talking about this? Because we need to understand that there are those who actually have medical knowledge, not in name only. That cannabis as a medication can be extremely effective for a large range of things. Now, you have a hangnail, cannabis ain't going to help you. You have a headache, cannabis probably isn't going to help you. There are things that it's not helpful for. But we get all hurt with our butt up over our shoulders about cannabis and some other alternative treatment system things that are effective because they're strange and not understood, and we've been told lies about it. And then we become advocates for sanity in name only because we do not know the most sane answer to the question is, how do you treat this ailment? You'll give them Wellbutrin, you'll give them every kind of thing that's going to psych them out and make them act crazy, hazy, daisy, lazy. Comes to cannabis, all bets are off, even if someone functions well on it. And there are many people who utilize it and function extremely well with it. So if we're going to be supportive of each other and understand that we're going to meet each other where we are in order to work together as a well-oiled machine, trusting each other for all the gifts that we all bring to this fight together, it doesn't do any good to pull each other apart and be teammates in name only. It doesn't do any good to sit by the sidelines until there's all kinds of breakthroughs and then everybody starts pumping the drum and be a patriot in name only. It doesn't do any good to spout the water, the company line and the corporate lies and report all of the fluff and all of this stuff. And then when it really gets rid, then you become a journalist, but in name only, or a doctor in name only. If you know that you're a doctor in name only, you've got a couple of choices. One, you can quit, or two, you can go back to school. Same with any other profession. Now, how did we get here in name only? Well, some people get to be Christians in name only because they're forced into the decision, not knowing everything it is, and they decided that it's not going to take root. But boy, they did that one time, and that gives them a very self-righteous viewpoint of themselves because they got the get out of jail free card. And since you don't have your get out of jail free card or get out of hell free card, then you're not one of us, you're one of them. And then that's when we have our Christian evangelical pride. You're not one of us because you didn't do what we did. But if we look at the path that you're walking and the talk that you're talking, it doesn't look anything like what we would expect a Christian walk to be. If anybody calls anyone else out on something that might need to be improved, first we get a case of butt hurt. We'd say, well, Jesus loves us anyway, just the way we are. Well, yeah, he does, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to make some improvements. Think of it for a minute. For those of you who are parents, you love your children. Are there areas that you would like to see them improve? Would it not be the same for our Heavenly Father when he sees us where we are? Not as a matter of shame or pointing his majestic finger, but as this is the little area that we need to work on. Just like we would our children, he does with us. And when we don't listen, he's known to spank, just like we are as parents. Because he needs our attention, he needs us on board, he needs us working together, not tearing each other apart, finding ways to lift each other up. Find ways to help each other's candles burn brighter, not blow out each other's flames. Because what happens in that instance is there may be some immediate gratification that you were able to blow out that person's candle and now everybody's looking at your light. But they're also looking at is that missing light that you just blew out. And they're going to eventually hold you responsible for it. So should we not be lifting each other up, encouraging one another, and having compassion for one another in the battles that we're fighting? We can take dings at each other and beat each other up and look like idiots in public. And then our egos get to working, and then the adversary gets it in, and next thing you know, we have to regroup. And we can do all of this in name only, or we can do all this. And it's really up to us. God said, do not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't use his name in vain. Don't say you're with him when you're not. And I think that that can actually be transferred. That truth can be transferred across the board and applied. Don't say you're a doctor if you're not. Don't say you're a counselor if you're not. If you're in there to get the juice, if you're in there to be a hero and save somebody, you're not going to help. So as we get ready for this next phase of fighting, and I don't know what that means, and I don't know what that looks like. Those are just the words that happen to come out of my mouth. And we need to understand we need to hold close together. We don't need to be rah-rah, super-duper cheerleaders necessarily, although that helps. But encouragers and methodically moving forward and encouraging others who are in a very sticky position of disclosing truth, pray for them that they're able to do so. And I'm talking about all the little podcasters got their face up there. The news reporters got their face in front of people. They're going to have to be going through some situations where they're going to be challenging people publicly. It's not a comfortable position to be in, even though they're successful. It's not an easy task to do. I watched this one news gal, and she was in the face of it. And very successfully called out what it was, called yes, yes, and called no, no, and challenged the wibbly wobbly of it. And although I was cheerleading in the background, I was like, yeah, yeah, look as you go. I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, yeah, you tell them. You make them say the truth. This is what I'm thinking in the back of my mind. With the other side of my brain, I'm thinking, ooh, I'd be nervous, right? Trying to understand that that is a very tricky position to be in. So we need to pray for one another, pray for those who are truth tellers and those who are truth revealers, pray for the diggers so that they can do their job and we can support them, and not just in name only. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. A little bit different kind of a broadcast with scriptures and scuttlebutts, but I came with nothing. And this is what God turned it into. Isn't he great? I am your host, Leander Grace. I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect the dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good. Because we'll learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.